Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Church news. Guess which church? Your church. This is Wretched Radio. Let's talk about the institution Jesus loves that you're a part of. At least I hope you're a part of. I hope that you are a joyful serving member of a local church. If not, find the best one you can, join it, and start participating joyfully with unity, which is exactly what Jesus prayed for us, that we would have unity. But it isn't easy, is it? Why? Because you got a little old something called sin. Furthermore, you've got churches that have varying degrees of good and bad doctrine, and that goes for all churches. In fact, I was reading, I'm pretty certain it was the 1689 London Baptist Confession. I was looking for something that we could say on Sunday morning at Alpharetta Bible Church that talks about the one another's, the serving one another. Having unity in the body where we love one another, where that is the place where soul care takes place, where we move from brokenness to wholeness. And I believe it was chapters 26 and or 27. 26 was about the church. Chapter 27 was about the communion of saints. And by the way, if you are a hymn writer, we need some more hymns about the one another's. Because the only ones that I could find were like, they will know we are Christians by our love, and then, let there be peace on earth. We need better hymns. We need some communion of saints, that we are with union in Christ, and therefore in union with one another. And I found it fascinating that even this great historical confession acknowledged that even in the best of churches, there is a mixture of good and bad teaching. Uh-oh. Whoa. What's up with that? That might be a hard pill for some of us to swallow, because those of us who love to be doctrinal purists, and I'm one of them, we think we pretty much have it right. But here's the reality. According to the 1689 London Baptist Confession, not everything. And there's a mixture. Jimmy, you want to Google 1689 London Baptist Confession?
Yes.
And there's a lot. The church has like 7 different sections to it, and then it's communion of saints. It might be section. Just read through it. It's not that long, and find the section that I'm talking about that confesses in this confession that churches have a mixture of good and bad teaching, and that I don't like reading stuff like that, because it's like, well, no. We're trying not to have any bad teaching here. And that's good. And that is right. We're never going to lose that. But we should also recognize that sometimes we're just going to be a little off on stuff. And most certainly, we're going to have varying opinions on different issues. Aren't we? The big one these days, in my estimation, that's still simmering, and I don't think it's come to a complete head inside of the body yet, how we deal with church-state relations. You got people that just have a difference of opinion on these things. And Jesus says, have unity, get along. You're going to have to overlook some stuff, because even in good churches, there's going to be a blend of good and bad, and you're going to certainly be sitting next to somebody in the pew who's got a difference of opinion than you do. How you responded to the assassination attempt, somebody's going to have a different response than you. In fact, it was fascinating. I watched it on Sunday, and I don't think any of these reactions were wrong, but I just heard a slew of different reactions. Did you see it? Do you believe it? The ear, and like a millimeter away, all the way to, yeah, I saw it, and then went back to cutting the lawn. All right. there's a difference of opinion there. We're going to divide over that? Are we going to not be living in the joy of unity that Jesus prayed for? Jimmy, it looks like you found it.
I did.
Which one is it?
It's the third under the church, and
that's chapter 26, right?
Chapter 26, correct.
All right.
The purest churches under heaven are subject to mixture and error, and some have so degenerated as to become churches, no churches of Christ, but synagogues of Satan.
Yeah, okay. So we love the second part. Yeah! Yeah! Wait, what? The best, what did it say? The best of churches?
Yes.
Are subject to a mixture of pure and false?
The purest churches under heaven are subject to mixture and error.
I hate that. Mm. Yeah, we don't want that. And I think that's the right sentiment. But it's so unpleasant to think about my church? Especially if you're a pastor. Wait, what, my church? You're an elder. What are you talking about here? Well, that's the reality. Because you're just going to have some varying opinions, and we're just going to be off on some stuff. It doesn't mean that we just let the floodgates open to foolishness and to heresy, but it is wise to recognize that it can happen, and no church is perfect, and that we are to live with these people, and that we are to do things with these people, and we are to be unified and overlook so much with one another. I mean, can you imagine going to church with Jimmy, what that would take to overlook that? Can you imagine? Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you, you know what it, the hardest people to go to church with are people like me, because we really do want pure doctrine. Yeah. And that's like a big thing. And I think that we can sometimes forget that people are in different places, and even the best theologian on the planet, even the purest church, has a mixture of truth and error? That should little humility. Six elements that are usually found where biblical unity is lacking. And then, of course, the contrary, six elements that cause biblical unity. Let's start with those that typically are present. If your church is not a place where it's like, this is good, sweet here, I like it, I feel good, I want to participate. I want to stick around after church and talk to people. I'm getting there early to hang out with those folks. Is your church like that? Maybe this is why it's not. There's usually inconsistent teaching that begets dissimilar beliefs. So if the pulpit ain't shooting straight all the time, well, then people are going to pick up on that, and they're going to have a variance of theologies, and you're going to struggle for unity. Pastor? Make sure you're consistent. That's the encouragement to help biblical unity actually abound. Might I suggest it starts with a common hermeneutic? If you can all be on the same page with how to enter. Do you remember Calvin Robinson? He's now a Nordic Catholic. He was an Anglican, found himself in a kerfuffle, not getting along with them because of their wokeness and because of their views on gender and marriage. And so now he's a Nordic Catholic. And did you hear, do you remember how he interpreted the Bible? Well, Eve is a picture of Mary. Mary's the better Eve. What? What is that? How did he get there? He's got a bad hermeneutic. He's got an allegorical hermeneutical approach. And if your church doesn't share the same way to read the Bible, you're going to go bonkers. What was that thing yesterday? Some pastor, Donald Trump, was shot at 6:11, and Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor, and then Charlie Kirk chimes in, and look at the next verse. We don't war against flesh and blood. Hold the phone, Henrietta. What is that? A hermeneutical dog's breakfast. You don't have the same hermeneutic. Probably not going to have unity. Number two, there's often the inclusion of persistent, unrepentant immorality and sin. It's overlooked, just goes on. Well, we'll just be patient. You gotta deal with it. And that could mean church discipline. Number three, there's a neglectful inclusion of false converts that results from weak evangelism. That's why preaching from the pulpit, there sometimes has to be some strong preaching. Not all the time, but sometimes it's for those that are there. They could be tares. You don't want to go around plucking them out. That's unwise. That's Matthew 13. But strong preaching will do that, or it'll convert them. And if that's not happening and your church is getting filled up with tares, you got trouble. There's not going to be unity, and it won't be sweet. There's a neglectful inclusion of false teaching. There's an exclusion of church discipline and admonishment. Ain't nothing make you tremble quite like church discipline done rightly. There's weak leadership that fails to address these causes of disunity. And it's probably a tender pastor who feels like, well, if I address it, we might lose some people. You're right, but if you don't address it, you almost certainly will, because they don't want to be in a place where people aren't sweet with one another. Is this subject of unity easy? No, it's not. And wow, don't we see a whole lot of fracturing going on these days, even in conservative Bible teaching circles? Add to this list of six, hey, be careful that you rate the issue, that you do theological triage, that you recognize what are we, you've got a different, you were blasé about the Donald Trump shooting and somebody's all worked up about it. Fair enough, but question. What level of hierarchy in the theological ladder, what rung does this reach? If we don't do that, we'll never have much unity. This is Wretched Radio.
Breaking news, scientists have predicted a massive heat wave of savings at Wretched's global warming sale. See what I did there? Okay, that was kind of weird. Anyway, all this week through the 21st, prices are definitely falling in the Wretched store. Up to 60% off, free shipping on orders over $50, because we believe in actual measurable benefits. And this sale is so hot, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started sweating. Okay, all right, I'll stop with the bad puns. And unlike certain climate models, our sale delivers as promised. Visit wretched.org/sale before these deals are gone. Stock up now on solid biblical wisdom. That's Wretched's global warming sale at wretched.org/sale, where the only thing rising faster than alleged sea levels will be your biblical knowledge. Okay, I promise that's the last one. Wretched.org/sale.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies. The war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
All right, Christian, are you, like most of us, concerned about the direction our culture is headed? Yeah, well, listen up, because we are about to launch a brand new initiative within this ministry. We're bringing together 8 brilliant Christian thinkers to create content that tackles today's toughest issues head on. Think of it like a Christian version of the Daily Wire. These experts will be producing articles, podcasts, videos, and even homeschool curriculum. They'll cover everything from ethics and evangelism to science and Gen Z issues. It's all about equipping you to navigate our complex and ever-changing brave new world with biblical wisdom. But here's the thing. We need your support in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a match campaign, a $250,000 match campaign, where every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. If you want to learn more about this initiative and the incredible minds behind it, just visit wretched.org/fellows right now. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Know your church fathers. Hippolytus was perhaps the most important theologian of the 3rd century. He wrote a 10-volume book called Refutation of All Heresies, which catalogued and criticised hundreds of pagan philosophies, Gnostic teachings, and Christian heresies. Hippolytus was exiled and died a martyr under the Roman Empire. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Todd?
Kind of impatient, aren't we, Jimmy? This is Wretched Radio. Let's do take two on that. You ready? I'm going to do take two.
Todd?
Have you noticed that that's the trend for people when they are like looking for a piece of paper, they go looking something up? It's okay. Exaggeration, but everybody does that. Hey, excuse me. Do you have that one folder? Have you noticed that?
I have noticed that.
Where did that come from? That is a new thing. I'm telling you, it's almost like it's a technological sound effect that we're making in response to always being consumed by electronics.
I think so.
Siri, listen, I have just cursed you. If you haven't heard it, you're going to start and you're going to be like, yeah, why is everybody? I've actually found myself almost doing that a couple of times until I realized how much it agitates me. And then I realized I'd just be mad at myself. And that's not going to happen because I sure do love me. So the thing went disappearing. Ready for take three?
Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Show started.
Wow. You don't have a whole lot of patience. Apparently, you like instant gratification, which is exactly what Table Talk Magazine was focusing on, how we have become a society. We want it when? Now. And if we don't get it, we get so anxious. And this particular article, again, Table Talk Magazine, attributes it to that rascally cell phone. I don't think that it would be wise for any of us to ever say, yeah, you know, I see all these people, they go out to eat, they're sitting there on their cell phones. I'm not that way. Well, probably not by degree, but do any of us escape the pull of our cell phones? This, okay, probably won't surprise you if you know a germaphobe. If we go out to eat, we sit down, and the first order of business is if the waitron, because there are no waitresses and waiters anymore, a waitron comes to the table, asks for the beverage, water without ice, if you'd be so kind. And then what do? I immediately go to the bathroom to wash my hands because germ killer's good, hand washing. Okay, I do both. But then back, and sometimes yes, sometimes no, depending on where we've just been, Mrs. Friel will do the same thing. And there I sit by myself, and there it is on the table. Oh, Todd, look at me. I can't just sit there and look around, which probably would give us better table talk, better conversation. Look at that guy, the way that he eats over there. It's like a steam shovel going in. Have some stuff to... But boy, the pull of that cell... Do any of us really escape its gravitational pull? From the article, we've been conditioned to assume that waiting is something to be avoided at all costs. And I've always got to be amused. I've always got to have some sort of stimulation, electronic preferably. It just instant, isn't it? That pull for that? We are the generation of Disney fast passes, direct flights, eBay bidding, television streaming, quick bites, free two-day shipping. Two-day shipping? Who has got 2 days to wait for your vitamins to show up?
Same day around here.
Same day around here. It's insane.
It is.
It's like you push buy. Ding dong. What? Amazon. They're like everywhere. Certain occasions in life, however, remind us that we have no choice but to wait. We might be able to gratify certain desires here and now, such as ordering dinner, but at the regarding the ultimate things in life, they require waiting. And sometimes it takes a long time. And I think increasingly we're all being trained. I got to have it now. Now, that's going to breed something inside of us, isn't it? That's going to cause us to be an anxious people. It's going to cause us to be frustrated all the time and kind of, because everything isn't in place at the moment. Waiting is a good thing. Boredom is a good thing. Well, who was I just talking to? This is a conversation no doubt you've had probably 50 times. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't play video games. Mother just said, get outside. What am I supposed to do? You'll figure it out. Play. When do I get to come home? When the sun comes down. Okay. And then out you go. Not anymore. It's video games. It's election. In fact, hold on a second. I got it right here. I received an email. This is from Zach. The problem with video games, he writes, this was just an email sent to id@wretched.org. What I saw as just a hobby was turning into a deadly catalyst. Yikes. I noticed when I'm enthralled in a game and my son comes up to me needing something or simply just wanting to adore me. How's about those precious moments? I'm very impatient with him, and I hear the serpent in my ear calling him an inconvenience. So Zach was consumed in the video games because they stimulate us. They do stimulate us, and it gives us some sort of buzz in our brains. I think his email is worth hearing if you are perhaps spending too much time with a controlled gamer thingy-majig in your hand. What was it about video games that captured my heart so much? Answer, escape. Escape from the trouble in this world that floods the news. Escape from the responsibility of sacrificially loving and discipling my wife and raising my son. That's honest, Zach. Instead of pretending to yield weapons, I will never yield to defeat foes. I will never defeat. Why don't I spend my time sharpening and mastering the sword of the spirit to defeat the real enemy inside of me instead of these pixel enemies? I will spend hours looking up guides on how to do something in a video game, but won't spend the same time memorizing verses, chapters, and books of the word that will change my life. Video games will never be a reality, but the fight that my captain calls me to is real. You feeling that lately? I can actually conquer foes and even save real souls. So Saturday, I put them away. And on Sunday, I noticed a tangible difference talking to my wife about it. God bless her patience with me. He noticed that without video games, I'm more present, patient, and loving. That with video games, I'm very short-fused, impatient, and dare I say, unloving. Closing admonition from Zach. I'd love to get a warning out to other young men my age, especially men married with children. Put away childish things. Set your affections on things above where Christ is. Good word. Electronics, they are powerful. And maybe an encouragement, Mom and Dad. Kick your kids out of the house. Send them outside. Think back when you were a child. Whether you had toys or not, it just didn't matter. You'd pick up a stick and you'd turn it into a sword. Whatever you would do, you climb trees. Just do something. Go out there, kids, and get hurt. Do something that toughens you up a little bit. Play and let your imagination run wild. But instead, we let them just sit there and stare at a screen. And if we're honest, Mom and Dad, we have that propensity too. Back to our Table Talk article. We're not careful. We've got to be careful. Because if our technologies can infect the soil of our minds in such a way that stunts the growth of godly patience, we can become like Esau, who considered the birthright worthless compared to the immediate need to satiate his hunger. The iPhone didn't create impatience, but it has reshaped and conditioned our expectations. The modern age of technology, we need it now. I got to get buzzed this second. I can't wait for my wife to come back from the bathroom washing her hands. I got to look at something. I got to see a video. I've got to check my emails. No, you don't. Don't think we're made to live that way. We don't recognize it in ourselves, but it might be making us a person to live with. And it has implications for the church. From the article, preaching can't compete with the visual simulation. And the immediacy of sermons are shortened to accommodate dwindling attention spans. Perhaps they need to be shortened, but I don't buy that because I see people, they can watch an entire football game without moving a muscle except to get up when Domino's delivers the pizza. They can listen to a sermon. It just needs to be captivating. The sacraments don't meet our need for a media induced emotional highs. So the Lord's Supper is accompanied by visual or audio stimuli to accommodate our conditioned brains. Oof. That hurts. if your church does that, why? Why do we need that mood music going on? Why do we see that so often in these churches? They tend to be prosperity churches, word faith churches. Why do we need that? Well, it's because people need it, because we're conditioned for it. I got to have it going on. I got to have stimulation all the time. From Table Talk, it concludes, we are to view light momentary affliction as preparatory for the incomparable and eternal weight of glory that awaits us. We're waiting for that day. We should be longing for that day. We're not as much as we should be because we want it. We want it now. And if it's going to be a long time from now, I'm not even going to think about it. And isn't that a shame? I'll ask the same question I would encourage you to ask you. Who's zooming who? Who's controlling who? Your cell phone controlling you, or are you controlling it? This is Wretched Radio.